Hello and welcome to the Bob Edwards Show for Thursday, June 3rd. On Monday, our government honored America's dead warriors, but living soldiers are dishonored. Journalist Joshua Kors has learned that the military is denying treatment and benefits to its personnel. Even worse, the soldiers are diagnosed as having a personality disorder, which is considered a pre-existing condition. So, no treatment, and good luck getting a job with your personality disorder. And later in the hour, a neighborhood tragedy caused Peter Loewenheim to wonder what kind of people lived on his block. So he started knocking on people's doors and asking if he could sleep over the night. Some of them actually said yes, and Loewenheim has written a book about community. Joshua Kors was working on an oral history project for veterans when one of them mentioned in passing a problem that the journalist couldn't accept. The Army had denied that soldier medical benefits after diagnosing him with a personality disorder, a health condition that's considered a pre-existing condition. Kors followed up on what seemed to be an odd diagnosis and found it to be a disturbing trend for soldiers wounded in battle in Iraq and Afghanistan. When he first revealed the benefit scandal, a congressional hearing was launched. 3 years and thousands of soldiers later, veterans are still struggling to cope with the physical, mental, and economic strain that their war wounds have inflicted. The first of Kors' three-part series was published in The Nation magazine in April 2007, and it focused on Specialist John Towne. That soldier was knocked unconscious by a 107-millimeter rocket while serving in Ramadi.
He was wounded during a rocket attack, earned a Purple Heart for his wounds. When it came time to discharge him, though, the Army said that his deafness caused by that rocket explosion was caused by a pre-existing personality disorder. When I heard about this, I thought this was the strangest thing. I began to investigate. And 3 years later, I've looked at dozens and dozens of cases of personality disorder discharge. It turns out that 22,600 soldiers have been discharged with this personality disorder. It's a pre-existing condition, and I think that phrase is pretty well known to so many Americans from the healthcare wars. Pre-existing condition means that the military doesn't have to give you any disability benefits for the rest of your life, no long-term medical care. And Bob, one of the strangest small print provisions of that discharge is the soldiers have to give back a chunk of their signing bonus because they didn't complete their contract. What happened with John Towne on the day of his discharge, he was given a bill for several thousand dollars.
The Army tests for personality disorders.
Oh, absolutely. As a severe mental illness that would prevent a person from functioning normally in a group setting, they test for this. And in all of the cases I've looked at, these are soldiers who were screened and found to be perfectly healthy before entering the Army, screened again before being deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan. It's only after they're physically wounded and in need of benefits that this pre-existing condition is discovered.
Is the personality disorder defined or delineated or explained in any way?
Well, yeah, one can test for it. For those who have the mental illness, you can examine the way they respond to questions. You can see whether they've been on severe psychiatric medication through their childhood. But that hasn't been the case in any of the soldiers I've looked at. The soldier I wrote about most recently, Sergeant Chuck Luther, he was wounded by mortar fire while serving in Iraq, slammed his head against the concrete in the midst of that explosion, and developed headaches so severe that his vision would shut off. He said that one eye would just shut down. The other, it felt like someone was stabbing him in the eye with a scissors. The Army tried to tell him that his blindness was caused by personality disorder. And Bob, that's just been the pattern I've seen with all of these cases. Broken bones, fractured pelvises, all being explained on pre-existing personality disorder.
So a personality disorder can break your bones, make you go deaf, make you go blind.
It's just the strangest thing. I even think about Sergeant Jose Rivera. He still had grenade shrapnel embedded in his skin They said those wounds were caused by personality disorder.
I would think the Journal of the American Medical Association would want to print this study up. This is new ground.
Well, you know, after each of the pieces of this series, the third part being published in the most recent issue of The Nation, we get flooded with letters from doctors who say this is simply the most absurd thing you can imagine. In Sergeant Luther's case, he saw a psychiatrist outside the military when he returned home to Fort Hood, and that outside psychiatrist said not even an intern would have made mistakes this ridiculous.
But these are doctors signing off on this, right?
Absolutely. And with Sergeant Chuck Luther, the case is even more severe. He refused to sign the papers saying he had this pre-existing condition, and they took some pretty drastic measures. They put him in a closet and held him there for over a month under enforced sleep deprivation, keeping the lights on all night, blasting heavy metal music at him all through the night. When he tried to escape from the closet, they pinned him down, injected him with sleeping medication, and dragged him back to the closet. Finally, after a month of that sleep deprivation and captivity, he was willing to sign anything, and he did. He went ahead, signed papers saying he had this pre-existing condition. They shipped him back to Fort Hood, and that's when they let him know the repercussions of that discharge. No disability pay for the rest of your life, no long-term medical care, and here's a bill for $1,500.
These are not fighting men who are making these assessments of other fighting men.
No, these are doctors.
They couldn't. they just couldn't.
Oh, it's bizarre. Well, you know, there's pressure on the doctors, too. I mean, this goes all around, and it speaks to the culture of the military. In part two of my series, I spoke with military doctors who talked about the pressure on them to purposely misdiagnose wounded soldiers. One told me the story of a soldier that came back with a chunk missing from his leg. His superiors pressured him to diagnose that as personality disorder.
John Towne had been honored 12 times during his 7 years in uniform.
That's right, and Sergeant Chuck Luther had served a dozen years, won 22 medals for his performance, including Army Achievement Medals, awards for his meticulous and brave service on the battlefield. He helped lead a scout's raid that uncovered a cache of weapons from insurgents in Iraq, but yet they said he was too mentally ill to serve to begin with.
How did the doctors diagnose these soldiers? Did they interview family members or do any analysis to assess their mental health before they went to war?
It's the strangest thing. They didn't interview anyone to proclaim that this was a pre-existing condition. And as you can imagine, with all of these soldiers, it infuriated them and their families. If they had just been asked about the soldier's condition before going to war, all of them would have said that they were perfectly healthy. It's only when they came back from the battlefield that they had severe physical and psychological illnesses. That extends not just to the doctors. The Army Surgeon General, when she was asked to review these cases of personality disorder, she took a stack of them and said she would take a look. They did what they called a 5-month thoughtful and thorough review and came back with a proclamation that not a single soldier had been misdiagnosed and not a single soldier had been wrongly discharged. But I did a touch more reporting, and I found out that even in that 5-month review, they didn't interview a single soldier, not even the soldiers whose cases they were reviewing.
Of course, soldiers do get personality disorders as a result of being in combat, but we call this post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yeah, a lot of these guys are coming back with shell shock. It's a totally different illness. I mean, we're talking about physical wounds being blamed on a pre-existing mental illness. And it's not just the doctors or the Army Surgeon General. Barack Obama and Republican Senator Kit Bond were furious about these discharges. They put forward a bill to halt all personality disorder discharges. They could not get it through on Capitol Hill. There simply wasn't enough awareness of this problem. And so they ended up watering down the bill, putting it into an amendment, which was signed by then-President Bush. That amendment required the Pentagon to study personality disorder discharges, and it probably won't surprise your listeners to find out that after the Pentagon's thorough review, they found out that not a single soldier had been wrongly diagnosed or discharged, and that in that case as well, they didn't interview a single person.
Why would the military not want to diagnose someone with post-traumatic stress disorder if, in fact, that was the case with the patient?
Well, when you have a soldier who's physically injured with a leg problem or traumatic brain injury, a blow to the head, they're going to cost a lot of money. The military is saving over $12 billion by purposely misdiagnosing these wounded soldiers. That's a lot of savings for a lifetime of disability and medical benefits. And I think there's also a PR component to this as well. Of course, everyone knows that 5,300 soldiers have died in the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. And right now on the books, you have 84,000 that are wounded. But the RAND Corporation, a nonprofit organization that was tapped to look into these issues by the Pentagon, they found out that approximately 400,000 were suffering from brain damage, traumatic brain injury, as a result of their service in combat. If all of those soldiers were properly diagnosed and put on the rolls of the disabled, you might see opposition to our involvement in Iraq and Afghanistan shooting way up. You'd go straight from 84,000 to about 500,000 wounded.
Soldiers are not allowed to sue military doctors for malpractice?
That's true. The Ferries decision, 1950 Supreme Court case, prevented soldiers from suing their doctors. Now, there have been some recent exceptions in litigation to that, but it essentially provides a bubble which doctors are hesitant to leave. They know they can diagnose the soldiers of anything, no matter how absurd, and there are really going to be no consequences for them.
How difficult is it to get the personality disorder diagnosis reversed?
Oh, very, very difficult. And I have to say, it's a split system. You have the military, which provides the diagnosis and discharge, and then you have the VA with benefits. Now, if you're given this discharge, you're not really eligible for VA benefits, but you can come to the VA and ask them for a fresh review of your case. Several of the soldiers have done that, seen VA doctors who were shocked that their physical wounds were blamed on this mental illness and decided to label them officially disabled. And that paved the way for disability benefits. But to go back and get the Army to change your paperwork, and that's a whole nother ballgame. And Bob, a lot of these soldiers, the pain on their faces when they talk about having this discharge follow them. Could you imagine in this job climate going in, applying for a job, and giving your potential employer a paper saying that you're mentally ill? A lot of these soldiers say to me it's like a scarlet letter they just can't scrub off.
The Surgeon General investigated this, right?
That's right.
What happened there?
The same thing as the Pentagon. Didn't interview a single person and decided that all of the diagnoses had been correct. In fact, that case was particularly troubling to so many veterans advocates because the one person that was tapped to do that review was one of the doctors who provided the false diagnoses. They essentially came to him and said, "Did you get it right the first time?" The doctor said, yes, I did. And they shut down the review at that point.
Now, what happened to John Towne?
John Towne's in a tough spot. He did end up getting some benefits from the VA, but he's still struggling with his physical wounds, memory loss from the blow to his head, and a post-traumatic stress disorder has kind of shaken his family. I do know that right now he's going through a tough family time and may be separating from his wife.
Were any of these soldiers able to get a second opinion outside of the military?
Well, absolutely, and that is what happened with Sergeant Luther, who went to an independent doctor in Killeen, Texas, just outside Fort Hood. That doctor was very interesting, Troy Daniels. I spoke with him. He said, first, it's absurd to think that these physical problems could be blamed on personality disorder. A problem with your personality doesn't cause blindness. It doesn't cause deafness. It doesn't cause piercing shoulder pain. But he said to me, the strangest thing was that it didn't surprise him to see a diagnosis as erroneous. He said that having worked outside Fort Hood for 25 years, he's seen a dozen cases of personality disorder come out of that base. Not a single one, he said, actually had that disorder.
Where are the veterans groups? Where's the American Legion? Where's the veterans of foreign wars? Shouldn't they be all over Capitol Hill pleading this case?
You know, I can't speak to those organizations, but I know that several others are on top of this. Veterans for Common Sense, led by Executive Director Paul Sullivan, testified before Congress when this came up for hearings. I know that Paul Rykoff, Executive Director of the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, has been following these cases thoroughly as well. I think it's something that needs to spread knowledge of it, not just through the public, but through the veterans leaders as well.
Are there not enough veterans on Capitol Hill anymore?
That might be the case. Certainly there's not enough awareness of some of the struggles that these veterans are facing. It's not just coming back with shell shock. It's facing diagnoses that are wrong and ending up in great need, but with a lifetime of being denied benefits.
What about the Department of Veterans Affairs? That's outside the Pentagon, right? That's a different cabinet.
It is, and I'm afraid to say that their organization has not been too on top of this. Of course, they are saving billions by preventing these wounded soldiers from getting benefits. But it was the House Committee on Veterans Affairs that did go ahead and look into this in 2007, and it was the testimony at that hearing from John Towne, from veterans leader Paul Sullivan, that led to Barack Obama and Senator Kit Bond putting forward that bill to halt the discharges. One of the most important aspects of this story has been the public reaction to this scandal. A group of soldiers who were shocked by Sergeant Luther's story and Specialist John Towne's story have put forward a Facebook group, Stop Personality Disorder Discharges for Our Wounded Soldiers. And the reaction there has been simply amazing. In its first hours, it got 100 members. By the next day, that membership had quintupled. And I checked it now just before coming to the studio. It's now over 3,000 members. And I think as more and more Americans find out about personality disorder and these wounded soldiers who are being denied benefits, the membership in that Facebook group is only going to skyrocket.
Joshua Kors is a reporter for The Nation magazine. To learn more about his investigation and the challenges facing our war veterans, go to BobEdwardsRadio.com. Next, writer Peter Loewenheim talks about how he found community without Facebook.